This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. We're going to talk about The Masked Singer now on Fox. It is now midway through its eighth season. If you haven't seen it, The Masked Singer is a singing competition that features celebrities whose identities are concealed behind elaborate costumes.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grapple, give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life.
So the judges have to guess who it is. And in that case, one of the judges guessed correctly. Monty Python actor Eric Idle singing one of his original songs, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. He was dressed as a big roly-poly hedgehog in a bedazzled black jacket and was sadly eliminated early on this season. But let's look at the bright side, and I mean the really bright side, as in the eye-popping costumes. This season's costumes include a pink dragon in a wedding dress, a multicolored hummingbird with a giant prosthetic head and large beady blue eyes, and an animatronic fortune teller inside one of those carny booths. And yeah, the booth was actually part of the costume. Joining us now is the wizard behind all those costumes, Academy and Tony Award-winning costume designer, Tim Chappell. Welcome to Press Play, Tim.
Hey, Madeline.
Well, the costumes certainly do, they do amaze, I will say that. So we want to see exactly how you do it behind the scenes. And how do you come up with these ideas to begin with? How do you come up with the general concept before you get into the details?
The ideas come from a lot from the producers. And then what we do is we start off with the ideas of characters in just words and a little description, and we start with like 80, and then we whittle that down to about 30. And anyone who absolutely loves an idea, we throw that in the mix.
Hmm. And do you know who the contestants are before you come up with the ideas for the costumes?
Absolutely.
You do. So you tailor the costumes to the contestants?
Yeah, well, what we do is we start with a whole selection of costumes that will appeal to all the different elements of the audience. You know, like we have things that little girls will like, and we have things that are sort of more fashion oriented, and we always have to include a couple of blokey costumes for the dads watching.
Like what's a blokey costume?
Well, honestly, the pink bride dragon was a blokey costume. I mean, I know it was a dragon and I know it was in a wedding dress, but I actually designed that for a man.
Wait, we don't know who that is yet, do we?
No, it's a secret. I can neither confirm nor deny who it is.
Well, now we know it's a man.
No, you'll be able to, you can tell it's a man. I mean, he starts singing.
Okay. So describe what that looks like, because we're on the radio and it's hard to imagine. So describe it if you could.
Okay, so our pink dragon is about, I think he came in at 9.5 feet tall and has a big toothy smile and a lovely 80s style Princess Diana wedding dress and a giant engagement ring. But we don't know whether she's been left at the altar or not yet.
Aww.
Hopefully she'll make it.
Hopefully she will. She won't breathe fire on everyone and incinerate.
Yes.
Everybody in the audience. So how many people would work on that costume, for example?
Each costume can take up to 30 people to work on it. We have people who specialize in various technologies. Like we do a lot of 3D building where we will design the character in a 3D space and then either do a 3D printing of elements of it. And occasionally we've got this amazing router system that cuts foam and bevels all the edges. And then when you put this flat pieces that are very random looking, you glue them all together. And then you've got this perfect head that's exactly a doll or a baby or a bear. And it comes out perfect and doesn't need any sanding or any special finishing. The new technologies are really helping.
It's pretty extraordinary, 30 people. And then how long does it take to make a costume?
It can take up to 16 weeks, depending on the complexity and whether sometimes costumes get swapped to other celebrities as well.
Oh, so you make one thinking of one celebrity and actually it goes better with someone else?
Yeah, that happens. Somebody would be cast late and it's like, oh my God, that would be so perfect for them.
Like, give me an example of what happened.
I can't.
Okay, trade secrets. All right. But you do design the costumes to fit the celebrity. And so when you're thinking about that, what are you thinking when you come up with the idea for the costume and how it would match the celebrity?
It's a bit of a process because I like to involve my celebrity in creative decision making. And how I tailor things is that it depends on, A, if they can dance, how good they are as a singer, and interestingly enough, how bad they are with claustrophobia. And it could be a very light and airy head and they go, oh my God, I can't deal with it. And then by the time they get to camera, they're all good.
And then they have to walk around the stage and try to dance and sing in that heavy costume?
They're not that heavy.
They're not.
Madeline, I'm always looking, I have to look after my babies. My cast are my babies. And I try to make sure that they're as comfortable and free to move as possible.
So what happens to these costumes once they've had their debut and they've made it on stage and then sadly the celebrity gets kicked off the show? What happens then?
They tour without somebody in them. It's quite odd to see the costume on a mannequin, not moving, when you're used to seeing it alive. It's creepy.
Yeah, it must have an eerie sense to it. Yeah. So do you have a favorite? You've done it for 2 seasons, correct?
Yeah, I'm on my 3rd season now. I thought the mermaid was really beautiful this season, and the pink dragon is pretty amazing.
Well, how did you get into this business to begin with?
I was at art school doing a BA in fashion design, and one summer I got a job working in TV, and that was the start.
And that was in Australia?
Yeah. I started working on a soap opera called E Street, which was very took itself very seriously, but it was a lot of fun.
So there's a big leap, though, between doing costumes for a TV show, right, and just dressing people in normal clothes, and then doing costumes on this level, on this scale.
Yeah, I guess I'm most famous for The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which is a film I did in 95. And I think that's kind of started me on this track doing things that are outlandish, because there are a lot of elements of that. Like the finale of Priscilla is we start off with plants, and then we go to lizards and then koalas and just a whole bunch of various animals and plants. And so I've been kind of heading in this direction for a long time.
And do you like to dress up yourself?
I hate wearing costumes.
Really?
Yeah, it's a hassle.
So Halloween comes around and you're not dressing up?
Yeah, no, I'm going as a middle-aged gay costume designer.
But that's not scary.
It depends on if you're one of my customers or not.
Funny. Well, there's something really amazing when you wear a costume and you're completely anonymous, when you can completely hide your identity.
This show really exemplifies that idea. And one of the real joys is watching the celebrity go through the process. We're giving celebrities an opportunity to be something completely bizarre and different.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of fun. Is there a costume that you're dying to do that you haven't been able to do yet?
Yes. I want to do like a sexy female lowrider car costume. Yeah. Because the lowrider cars have those incredible paint jobs and chrome details, and just trying to work out the head. What would I do for the head? Would it be a grill or a headlight, you know?
Oh, that sounds amazing. So maybe next season.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Well, best of luck to you and congratulations. The costumes are really magnificent and it's been great talking to you. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Cheers. Thanks, Madeline.
That's Tim Chappell, Academy and Tony Award-winning costume designer. He is the costume designer for The Masked Singer. And that does it for this week on Press Play. Our producers are Brian Hartzinski, Angie Perrin, Bennett Purser, and Marcel Hutchins. Michelle Aloy is our line editor. Amy Ta is our digital editor. Sarah Sweeney is our managing producer. And our technical director is the ever Super Mario Saavedra. Thank you so much for listening this week. I'm Madeline Brand. Have a good one. I'll see you on Monday.